Disclaimer, all music streamed on this podcast is protected by Section 108 of the U.S. Copyright Act, which states that copyrighted work reproduced for purposes of criticism and comment are not an infringement of copyright. But with that being said, let's set sail on the virtual ocean. Let me welcome you to the show.
Hello, world. Welcome to episode 38 of The Virtual Ocean. I'm your host, Jarell Ramos. I am joined by my talented producer and shipmate, Brandon Mattel. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. This is the Vaporwave Let's Listen podcast. We're happy to have you on board. If you don't know what Vaporwave is an art aesthetic that embodies the anxiety, disillusionment, and nihilism of the modern world. In music genre form, Vaporwave dives deep into these unconscious anxieties, taking the sounds from decades past, warping and manipulating them to summon the ghosts of the good times that were promised by modern capitalism but never came. Vaporwave is an art form that expresses the collective unconscious pain of the internet generation, and because of its internet-based nature, its aesthetics have evolved so rapidly, further reflecting the ungrounded modern mind. In each episode, we highlight an artist or album within the Vaporwave genre and listen to it, analyze it, and discuss it with you, the listener. You can follow us on Instagram at The Virtual Ocean, where we curate aesthetic art on a daily basis. Our opinions are our own, and we welcome you to join in on the conversation by commenting on our Instagram. And now, for today's episode. One of my favorite things about doing this podcast is finding hidden talent that makes me feel like I have no talent whatsoever. Today, we are setting sail for NRAIL's Space World 2000, in our opinion, one of the most underrated Vaporwave records on the show. NRAIL is part of a Vaporwave group titled Millennium Edition, and this album is a solo work on his part. Now, he is one of the youngest in our catalog of featured artists, but do not underestimate the insane talent that exists in this guy's brain. You would not expect this guy to be as young as he is. Space World 2000 is a hyperactive vapor trap-ish album that moves a little bit like an EDM epic akin to maybe Porter Robinson's Virtual Self. And it's safe to say NRAIL has a bright future in music production, and we want you to all witness why. Come along with us. Let's set sail for NRAIL's Space World 2000. Let's begin the album Space World 2000 with the first track titled Space World 2020. We'll be right back. that was an amazing opening to this record. The rhythm composition sticks out like really, really hard with that first track. You know, me and Brandon have a slight background in percussion because we're both in drumline. We've mentioned this before. And that drum break in the middle of the song just brought me back to the battery breaks when we would do these drumline competitions in high school, and it would just be this insane, insane rhythmic, you know, coordination between the snares and the tenors and the basses that is just complex and fast, and it just beats your face up. And I like that a lot about this track. It puts a lot of that rhythm in the forefront, and I hope a lot of this album is like that, because I'm digging the talent with the rhythm and the drumming in this first track a lot. Brandon, your first impressions on that?
Really good, man. I like Stank Face that whole track all the way through, for sure. I'll keep my comments short because I really want to jump on to the next one, but for sure I wonder if the producer has a background in percussion, because those are very, very complex.
Yeah, you don't just write rhythms like that out of nowhere. I think you definitely need to have a background in percussion to know how to make those sextuplets work and those breakdowns. And I don't know, man. I just feel like you don't hear that from normal producers. That is something you hear from percussion writers. So, well, I don't know. Maybe we might be writing them short. We might not, but it's... You know, I'm thinking the same thing, you know. So let's go on to the second track, everybody, titled The Heart-Shaped Brain. That is a amazing house banger, Heart-Shaped Brain. That was definitely a mind melter with a unexpected, what was that, Big Bang sample, you think?
I think so.
Yeah, I felt like that kind of just takes me back to pre-COVID and going to raves. I mean, that had a lot of energy into it that felt like festival heavy. And I love hearing experimental vaporwave entangled with EDM beats like this. And I honestly didn't expect that to sound the way it did. But, you know, you had that conventional EDM structure, that DJ structure, and you just have, you know, the ideas of vaporwave in it slightly. It is kind of akin to, like, George Clanton and Electronicon 100, you know, that whole scene of vaporwave kind of has a strain of that. But I'm liking a lot more what he's doing, what Enrail's doing here, because it's such a mind melter. It's fun to listen to. I don't want to say it's a future funk record. I mean, I guess it kind of is, but regardless, I guess there's some influence there. It just feels more like a little more EDM, not quite, you know, a conventional EDM record, but I feel some of that in there. And it just takes me back personally to being in these large crowds and just fucking bang my head off to this shit. I love it, man. Shall we move on to the next track? All right, Brandon wants more, so we'll go on to the third track titled Fountain of Dreams. So that is the Fountain of Dreams, more like the Fountain of, you know, fucking...
Like a bad trip.
Not, I was going to say, like, Fountain of, like, my melted mind, because I'm, like, fucking stimulation overload over here with this album. In a good way, of course. And, you know, a bad trip, like Brandon said, yeah, it can kind of come off that way. There's something psychedelic about it. I think that's what I was trying to figure out in my last commentary in the last track. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. But there is like an element of psychedelic to this, but it just goes so hard. You know, it's a little bit of hard style here for sure. Oh, man, I miss raves and festivals, dude. This shit is the kind of music that takes me back to that. And, yeah, what are your thoughts on these two tracks, Brandon?
I'm really a fan of how the producer, like, this is probably just because I try to, like, learn a lot as much as I can about producing, so there's a lot about, like, just in music, right, where you have like builds and like shifts and arrangements, and you don't have to be a producer to know this stuff, you just have to listen to it to kind of understand. What I really like that this producer does is they introduce something rhythmically different or stylistically different in almost like every 10 or so seconds. So, which is why it seems like so like overstimulating, but like the way that they're chopping up like certain vocals and using up certain, like changing like the sounds and filtering things differently, it sounds really, really good. And I definitely think that they spent a lot of time like just thinking about like how to like make something like sound super crazy, which I think also is like a great testament for also like just the length of the tracks, because the first one was probably the longest that we've listened to so far. And these tracks almost feel like crazy ideas, and it doesn't drag on too long. You know what I mean? It just like, it's the idea and it's just executed very well. So I'm a fan of the arrangement for sure.
I'm sure doing commentary on this album will do it a bit of a disservice, because I think the streamline from track to track is a big part of it, just given the length and the abrupt stops. I think there's a there's a intentional transition from track to track that's there. So, you know, if you guys want to listen to this front to back, we highly recommend it. I think there's more to get out of it from there. And we will now move on to the next track titled Dream Station 64. Station 64. Trippy, very 8-bit, very video game sounding track with that one. You're right, Brandon, about the idea of him putting a lot of different ideas, putting like a lot of musical ideas like come right after each other. It's like it's busy in a good way. Like there's a lot going on and a lot to latch on to. You're kind of just moving through it like a video game level almost. Like it just constantly progresses and keeps going. What'd you think about that one? That Dream Station 64.
I would say that one was for sure like the taste breaker. Thinking about the past tracks. I think for that one, for sure, what I loved about it, it was more, it was less about like the craziness, which is what we've kind of been experiencing for this record. This one felt, it definitely, there was that sense of like urgency and like that really good sense of energy, but it was presented in a different way. And I think obviously it's very appropriately named like Dream Station 64. It kind of like relied on very subtle progression. So like you can kind of hear how like they had like those water sounds, almost like wind chimey sounds, right? How it was like very echoey and then it became very dry and like choppy. I thought that was really smart. And then it just progressed into like this more almost funk, kind of like down and like more like back in the pocket of the beat. So like rhythmically, I'm really liking the record. And I think the way that they're utilizing transitions to move on to the next part of the track is like very, very fun to listen to.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. All right, let's go to the fifth track titled Echo Pool.
Thank you.
Ooh, that was a epic track. You know, just just some Ben Shapiro. Okay, this is epic type shit. You know, that's what that track is right there. A lot to unpack there. I think one of the biggest reminders that track gave me is of Porter Robinson and Virtual Self. You know, the two projects from one of my favorite EDM producers. He really commits. Porter really commits to a fantastical digital aesthetic, and I get that a lot with this album as a whole. And I'm not sure where NRail gets his inspiration from. It does really remind me of that work, and I, you know, that's one of the higher end artists in the EDM scene, in my opinion. And he's drawing some pretty good inspiration with this Echo Pool track. The drop towards the last three fourths of this cut is just beautiful. You have this wailing that, you know, goes up each time the drop happens, and then it just kind of convulses into an amazing arpeggio scale at some point. And I love the abstraction and the imagery of the sounds that come from the fast movements that are made from the arrangements like that. You know, this track has movements in it, given it sitting at 5 minutes. And I don't know, man, like that was my favorite track of this album, and I want to know what you think, Brandon.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That was for sure like one of the, that was definitely one of the peak moments for me for this run around with this record. I just feel like everything from how the artist just built up to the drop was very, very, I wouldn't say calculated, but it was very smart. It was very interesting the way that they did it, because it never at any point feels like it loses energy. And then when you get to the payoffs, because he gives us like two or three payoffs with the drops here, by just opening up with those synths and just measuring that like with the rhythmic background of just opening up with like a few kicks and then just opening up with synths, you're just like, it really just kind of like sits right, if that makes sense. And yeah, everything about that track was probably put it at like one of my favorite tracks that we've listened to with the show for sure. Definitely remember this one for a while. Yeah, I just want to listen to the rest and see what's going on with it.
And let's go ahead and do that. We are. Oh my god, dude, my freaking. Sorry, I'm not talking well today. I have like a bit of a bit of a sore throat. It's not COVID, swear to God. I just had something too much to drink last night, and so we'll go ahead and go on to the next track titled Digital Dream. Thank you. Yeah, nice little play on melodies with that one. I can tell NREL was just fucking around with some scales on that one, you know, putting a little, what do you call it? Kind of like a vape error, manipul type vibe over there, you know, some kind of Echo to Dolphin type vibe with that one. Nice transition, palette cleanser, especially following that Echo Pool track, you know, man, really good stuff. We will be going on to the next track titled Acid Sprite Kiss. God damn, I love that glitch shit, dude. Acid Sprite Kiss. Now, this one is for sure, I think it's just one of the more one of the most vaporwave tracks on here. I think it just combines so many elements from what we know in the genre. But let's talk a bit about how this guy writes a melody, because they always sound sweet, and yet they always land rhythmically on these really intense downbeats, like a future funk track. But man, I'm just so impressed at what this guy has been able to do in this album. You know, this, I think with this track, it's kind of shown me that you can have a versatile background in different types of music, and it can only be accentuated when you go into the vaporwave space. Like, the vaporwave aesthetic can complement any underlying musical skills that you have. to begin with. And I like when I see that in artists like NRail. Like, we've had artists before where you can tell they have backgrounds in beat making, you know, backgrounds in ambiance. But what I like about NRail is you can see the just the raw talent of the of his composition skills, and it just comes to life in this, you know, psychedelic trippy glitch song. And he knows what he's doing in terms of these creative choices in making this vaporwave aesthetic, and I just love to see it, man. Brandon, thoughts?
I feel like this is probably the closest I've gotten to being like envious of a producer on the show, man. I only say that as a compliment, because right now, like, I'm just like very blown away with the, like, if you like just listen deep, and I'm sure most of you guys are as you're listening to the show, like, if you just listen deep enough, there is some really crazy stuff happening in a lot of these arrangements and this production. And the really the only thing I could say that like would be an improvement is just getting Sonics to match up a little bit more. But that's literally it. The way that this producer uses the sample choices, the melody choices, they're all like right in the pocket and they're right where they need to be. So I imagine like for a lot of this, it feels like such made in the moment. And it just feels like, and Jarrell's right, it, the way that the melodies are written, they just hit very, like on a very strong beat. And when the arrangement changes, it just feels right. It doesn't feel forced or anything like that. So, and I think that is like, in my opinion, one of the most important parts about it being a producer and just a music maker, because you can always fix, like, you know, if you have to change a sound or something like that later. This right here, like, I'm just very blown away and just like in awe of like how well it's put together. I know I don't normally talk up a lot of people like that, but I do feel very, very strongly about, like, for sure, Acid Sprite Kiss and Echo Pool for sure. Like, I'm gonna definitely probably end up listening to this again at some point later today.
For sure.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and move on to the next track titled "Why Isn't It 2006 Anymore." Okay, well, I was wrong. That was the most trippy track of the album. And that was "Why Isn't It 2006 Anymore?" And why isn't it 2006 anymore, man? That was a good year. You know, I was in middle school. I was in sixth grade. you know, I didn't turn in my English homework one time and I got in trouble, so I cried. And, you know, Blood Rain came out. The Nintendo Wii came out. You know, overall, good year. You know? So with this track, I get a lot of Giant Claw vibes. You know, Giant Claw, we did an episode on, is one of the more extreme examples of, you know, plunder phonics and taking old samples and just chopping it up, almost like a audio version of a collage, like a really extremely messy collage. And this track reminds you of that because of all the glitching and the sample changing and the you know, the tuning into another track, almost like you're listening to a radio picking up different signals. But what's cool is that it never loses its groove. It just keeps going. It stays on its beat even when the track just completely changes. And you know what? That's vaporwave as fuck. You can't. That is quintessential what this genre does to shock the normies. You know what I'm saying? So it's awesome. I like that. That might be my favorite track of this album. I like that NREL has this talent for making amazing house beats, but then here comes this vaporwave track that is just straight out of the 2014-2015 era of this scene. Whew. Before we go to our last two tracks, do you want have any thoughts on that one, Brandon?
Not much. I mean, you hit most of them on the head. A lot of capitalist memories.
Oh yeah,
capitalistic type theme memories, where it's just like, I think the audio collage was probably the best way that you put it.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. A lot of different ideas there for sure.
Okay, we'll go ahead and go to the penultimate track titled "Wasting Time."
Oh,
God, that was wasting time. Whew. Yeah, that, you know, I thought that track was gonna start as something completely different, and then you brought in the drop. You know, this album has amazing drops that I think just, I don't know how to say it. They're just really satisfying. They really fill this tension that builds up from the experimental textures. Very apparent in this track for sure, and it was awesome. Awesome track that was. Brandon, thoughts on Wasting Time?
Yeah, I think it's just another, just like a brilliant flex of like very, just like innate, I guess, like just like this, it almost feels like very natural, if that makes sense. This producer just kind of understands like where certain elements fit and what they kind of play into just making a song, if that makes sense. And that's a hard thing. I don't know if this is a skill that was developed like over time or if it's something that comes very naturally, but overall, regardless, I would say I can't tell. It just sounds right and everything transitions properly. I'm having a blast with this record for sure. I can't wait to listen to the last one, to the last track on this.
Definitely. All right, so before we go to the last track, I have to remind you guys, if you haven't yet, please follow us on Instagram at The Virtual Ocean, where we curate daily aesthetic art. That's where you can carry on the conversation of what you thought about this episode over there, or what you thought about other episodes over there. That's kind of our hub for reaching out and talking to our fans. And we'd appreciate the follow and the likes and the comments and all that. Another thing is, if you know, feel so inclined to, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you enjoyed this show, and go ahead and follow us on Spotify so you never miss another episode. All right, guys, let's go ahead and finish this album off with the last track titled Echo Pool, but this time Echo is spelled like, you know, Echo the Dolphin. And that is the finale of Space World 2000. Damn, the foot is off the gas now. And this album just didn't let go, you know, the whole way through. It was fast-paced. It was an intense one. It was definitely a banger for sure. And I will say it's one of the most underrated records in Vaporwave this year and maybe in a long time that we found. We just keep looking out. We keep striking out with these records that we've been finding these past, like, 10 episodes. I don't know what it is, but I love this record. I'm going to give it another listen, and I will recommend it to many other people. You know, this is a solid, solid record. Closing thoughts, Brandon?
Yeah. For sure, you hit it on the head with a lot of the comments already, but it's more just me reiterating. I would just say, again, like, this artist really has a knack for just understanding what certain elements and sound and sonics play in their and their roles in terms of making music. And it's just fun to listen to, because when I listen to this, it almost just feels like I said, it feels natural. It doesn't feel like anything is out of place, if that makes sense. I will say number 10 was definitely the most experimental one. It definitely felt like the culmination of kind of everything we've listened to for this go around for this record. And I really, if I were just comment on that last one, that last one definitely played a lot with, like, you know, using like different types of grain delay and just like that graininess, that grit that kind of grinds at your ears a little bit, that it felt very, very climactic for sure. And I think it's interesting that it was placed at the very end of the record. I think it would have been more suited towards like maybe the middle and then kind of like eased our way out. But like they just wanted to go out with a blast. So. Yeah, I had a lot of fun listening to it, and I would say, like, again, probably one of my top listens for sure through the podcast so far. I had a lot of fun with this one.
But what did you guys think? We want to know your thoughts on Space World 2000. Go ahead and give us a DM or comment on our Instagram at The Virtual Ocean, and go give NRail a follow on Instagram. We'll tag him in our posts on this album, and just send him the love and the, you know, the listenership that he deserves. This man is so talented, and we're excited to see where the fuck he goes next. Now, everybody, we are returning back to our ship, getting ready to sail once again to another adventure in the next episode. This has been The Virtual Ocean, and we will see you in the next experience. I gotta, like, script out that outro more, but I just don't want to. I always feel like I can get it every time, but whatever. Anyway. Thank you for sailing with us. This is The Virtual Ocean, and we'll see you again. Goodbye, everybody.
Raise the davit. Get these folks on board.
How are we looking today, sir?
Skies are clear, and the ocean laughs. I think we should go where our hearts take us.